Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn, and I'd like to invite you personally to join me and Breadbox Media on August 24th in New Oxford, Pennsylvania, for a day of spiritual renewal. I'll be presenting three talks, one on St. Joseph, one on the sacrament of matrimony, and another one on the Holy Eucharist. Learn more and register at breadboxmedia.com/PA conference. I hope to see you there.
Celebrate our God-given freedom and faith while honoring our Blessed Mother with Ghirelli's USA Rosary. Each state is represented on this rosary's 50 beads. Red, white, and blue enamel adorn its patriotic crucifix. Get yours today. Shop www.ghirelli.com.
In this special audio cast, let's look at the world through the lens of a millennial. So sit back and...
1, 2, 3, listen.
Welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, for a deep dish discussion with Carlton Mackel of Babylon LLC. He is a millennial, in so many ways a millennial, but he actually is a unique one because guess what? He works with me on some of my social media accounts, and without him, honestly, I wouldn't know exactly what to do. He helps fix my computers and, more importantly, helps me to adjust the way I view the millennial mentality and understand a little bit more how they experience the worldview, how they experience worldview, how they experience life, and how they would respond to questions regarding everything from sex, pot, rock and roll, to commitment, religion, and even integrity. So this is an interesting conversation, one that I think needs to be had and one that needs to be experienced. Why? Because we know that generations have experienced a lot of separation, and therefore that inconsistency, that lack of continuity has created a lot of disruptions. And one of the best ways to make generations a little bit more compatible with the other is listen to them. And so I hope you enjoy this deep dish discussion, which is brought to you by Select International Tours, where they have a compassion for the pilgrim and they are passionate about pilgrimages. And I've got my plans for next year coming up. If you want to learn more about my pilgrimages, you could just simply go to fatherleofeeds.com/travel or get in touch with Select International Tours at 800-842-4842 or selectinternationaltours.com. And I hope you enjoy this conversation with a millennial when we return with more Shoot the Shiitake. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake. With me, your host, Father Leo, for a deep dish discussion. I've got Carlton Mackel, the owner and founder of Babylon LLC, which is a production company. But the reason why I wanted to interview him is because he is very different from me. He is a millennial. He actually knows what media is all about. In fact, he handles some of my stuff. But I also just want to talk to him about things like what millennials go through, like anime, because you're into that. you're also got really big hair, you know, and you are also homeschooled.
That's right.
So there's like a lot. There's a lot that I want to talk to you about. So anyway, Carlton, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Father Leo.
So tell us a little bit about, if someone were to ask you, Carlton, how would you describe yourself? How would you do it?
Eclectic. Not afraid to be more than I expected to be.
Oh, God. You sound like an army commercial.
No, but it's true. I feel like, you know, people put themselves into a box by just imagining themselves like, you know, I take the time to try stuff that I wouldn't have expected. Like anime isn't something that I thought I would have entertained. But I realized that different medias, just like different foods, different flavors, they bring something else.
So can you just tell me what anime is? Because it's just like... Do you like Asian women? Is that your thing? I mean, I don't know. It's just kind of...
No. I started watching anime when I was a teenager because my older sisters were interested in the culture. They learned Japanese. One of them taught English in Japan. But what keeps my attention as an adult is that it's a different form of art media. The latter do different things. You know, we have action movies and superhero movies. And, you know, you're allowed to be Thor and drink beer and crack one-liners, you know. Okay. Anime, you know, you have different stereotypes. So I'm watching one called One Punch Man, which is like parody on superheroes. But it's anime, and so it's like kind of cartoony.
Is this something that millennials get into? Because you technically are very much a millennial.
I think it is because millennials grew up with the internet and access to different cultures.
So how would you describe the millennial culture? And be honest.
I think we're both more unique than it was possible because we're allowed to pursue our own interests more. We have access to internet, cell phones, mm-hmm. you know. But at the same time, we're limited by the fact that we're all listening to the same material.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, like, in some ways, pop culture is more important than ever now because we're so connected. Like you said about politics, you know, something happens and we're all affected by it.
So the millennial culture, you would say, has a tremendous amount of potential because you have access to the abilities to do things, but you're limited because you choose not to use those options. Everyone is basically dressing the exact same way. They're listening to the exact same music. They all have the same similar attitudes.
Well, and it's just, you know, we're so connected that, you know, you can't avoid that. You want to follow what's popular. You know, Chainsmokers came out and now everyone sounds like them.
So, okay, good. So pop culture is kind of more ingrained in the millennial movement, you think?
I think just because it's better communication, it's just an inherent, you know, we're all struggling with smartphone addiction.
Like, do you have an addiction to technology?
It's hard because I have to do it every day.
Yeah, why don't you tell people what you do here?
So every day, I post for Father Leo. I also, you know.
This is why, by the way, he's doing this show. Because he has to.
Yeah, exactly. My boss is like, whip, whip.
Am I a mean boss, by the way?
I mean, you have to be if you want to be a good one.
Am I mean?
No, you're fine. I mean, I think the job of the boss is to make people productive. And yeah. So, you know, some people need more stick than carrot.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I get that. I like carrots, especially if you braise it. But anyway, keep going and roast it. But so what do you do exactly for, say, Plating Grace, you know, our organization?
So for Plating Grace, I have daily routines, you know, media that needs to go out when there's a new event. We're either filming or making a flyer or promoting it somehow. Mm-hmm. We have a weekly email blast. We have pilgrimage trips that we promote. We have new media coming out all the time.
So people, all the times that you see, like even just this podcast, it requires someone to actually do it. So managing all of the social media, it's a lot of work.
Update the link on the website.
Update the link on the website.
That's a job that happens every week. It's like, sit down, update the link.
Yeah, because I can't do that stuff. Okay, I can't do that, but I should because I'm an Asian. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some serious stereotypes that we talk about. Right. And I want to talk about some stereotypes, particularly about the millennials. And then I want to get a little personal with you. But what would be some of the positive things about the millennial culture? I know you described it, but then what are some of the negative things? I'm just trying to figure this out, especially for parents who are trying to deal with their kids who don't care about anything traditional anymore.
Mm. Well, talking to parents is always difficult. I don't know how you do it so regularly.
It's my job, man. It's my job. You don't have to talk to the parents.
I think I can kind of describe that. You know, I think the problem is because you can't escape what happens. You know, Kim Kardashian puts a button on the internet, everyone knows about it, even if you go to middle school, you know, just because you're on Twitter and Instagram, we're so connected. And so I think for parents, the challenge is that you can't just expect to tell your kids, hey, this is what I believe. You should believe this too. And that'd be good enough. You know, you actually have to be able to give people the valid reasons that exist to brush your teeth, to go to church, to be mindful of other people and kind and responsible. As a parent, you might have been able to just tell them that. And you were the only example. You were the only source of entertainment in their life. You know, they didn't have Twitter. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have TV. They weren't in school all day long, you know, and so that was enough.
So parents were about my age. We had TV. All right.
You can't just lead by example because they're not there anymore. Okay. You know, you have to lead by example.
So what works for you? I mean, do you have a good relationship with your parents? And are they still able to tell you what to do and what not to do? Because you're how old?
I'm 27.
You're 27 years old.
That's right.
Okay.
So I would like to believe I have a good relationship with my parents, because when I have a disagreement that's about, you know, life, I tell them I disagree with them, you know, and I expect them to respect that decision.
Were you respectful to them growing up?
Yes and no. Like, I learned how to make chocolate chip cookies so I could bake them to my mom as an apology. Because I learned that if you did that before dad got home, you didn't really get
You didn't get yourself beat up. Okay. So, and you are kind of now more than ever a little bit more typical of the millennial culture, because the millennial culture is so international. In a way, you are too.
Right.
So let's just describe who you are. You are African-American and white.
That's right.
Okay. You grew
an
up-
Oreo.
An Oreo?
An Oreo.
Did you just say that? And that's okay, because you are.
So delicious.
Yeah. So what would people call me? Some people called me, because I was more white on the inside than yellow. I don't know exactly how I would describe that.
Vanilla cookie or something.
Like a vanilla wafer. Exactly. So what was it like growing up back in the 90s, mm-hmm. right, for you?
Yeah, it was 92.
92, like growing up biracially. What was that like for you?
You know, for me, I think I was homeschooled, and so that affected things. I didn't grow up like around other kids who looked 100% like me. I ran a lot of white kids too. And so for me, it's also, you know, the 90s, a little bit more accepting. Mm-hmm. You know, for millennials, I think we aren't always in tune with how things have been with history. And so it's confusing sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, they're pretty dumb like, when it comes to history.
People don't like black people. Like, people judge each other on their skin. It's like, you know, I'm used to really diversity is like natural to me. And so it was actually confusing that, you know, people would hate another person just because they look different. Like, that just didn't make sense.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, like, you could come across as Puerto Rican. I mean, like, right. you are so...
People ask if I'm Australian. They ask if
yeah,
I'm Asian.
Yeah, you definitely could be Australian. You have...
Mexican. I've gotten it
you
all.
You got it all. You got yeah, it all
I'm
going
just
on
just that
you.
Brown American.
Exactly. You know? So, but did you said that you never felt ostracized or...
I mean, not...
Did you ever have anything racist happen
yes,
to you?
Yes, I have. And I have felt ostracized or picked out. But not overall. It's just like, you know, I had to go back and like understand as an adult now that's why that person is a little more nasty than normal. You
okay.
Know?
But I mean, like, you know? Also are a very different person.
Right. That's
I mean,
true.
Like, you're kind of weird.
And being homeschooled, you know.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about homeschooling.
That, well, see, that changes the environment, too, because, you know, if you're in school, people bully you one way. For me, anything that happened weird growing up in school was like, you know, a homeschool mom said something nasty to someone else who made my, you know, it's like.
So why were you even homeschooled different. In the first place?
My mom is very active in the community. She actually does homeschool reviews to this day.
Why?
Passionate about it. It's is the she, most direct. If you have the time.
Is it because of faith or is it because of like social awareness? I mean.
If you had the time to cook every meal yourself and to make it the best meal possible, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Because you're the best cook you know.
So that was your mom.
But with children. Like, you know, if you have the time to make sure your kid gets to go to the right classes and they focus on the right things. You know, sure. If they're interested in music, sign them up and make sure they play the piano.
Sure.
You know, you're making sure that they get the unique opportunities that they are going to be the most receptive
but
of.
Why did she do that?
She's crazy. She had seven kids and she homeschooled all of them. She's crazy.
Okay. So you have six siblings.
Yes. I'm the third. I'm the oldest boy out of seven kids. Third oldest out of the
family.
Are
you close as a family?
Pretty close.
Do you think it's because of homeschooling that you're close?
Yeah. You spend a lot of time hanging out. And I mean, like, you know, I have good relationships with them. My older sister used to read me books, you know?
Do you think that you're weird because you were homeschooled compared to, say, like kids who were in regular schooling?
What makes me weird?
Well, that's where I want to hear that. Well, you are weird. I mean, look, you come into my home. You have two different pairs of socks on right now.
That's just disorganization. That's normal. Entropy of the universe.
And then you come in and there's always your facial hair is different all the time. Your hair is different all the time.
I'm allowed to be.
And you are not a typical millennial because you're actually respectful to me. And I know that you're not even... You don't even really believe in God. And yet you're working for a priest.
Agnostic.
Okay, so you're agnostic. So you're just kind of an anomaly. Mm. Do you think that came from homeschooling or do you think it came from just you being you?
Oh, it definitely came. I was influenced by homeschooling because when you are in a more competitive environment like school, when you have like, you know, a couple hundred or thousand classmates, mm-hmm. you know, you have to change how you act to fit in better. That's just basic human nature. You know, you put a bunch of rats in the cage.
Part of me thinks that you were allowed to allow your personality to flourish more because you didn't have to compete against anyone and conform.
Well, like I said, also, you know, when you're homeschooling, your mother and your homeschooling community is focused about nurturing that child. And so I was able to get, you know, my mom was like, you like computers, you can be on the computers more. Your dad's going to teach you a programming language, you know. Mm. You get a little bit, they encourage that as well. Plus, obviously, my parents were pretty strong personalities, so that's going to come through as well.
Oh, and we're going to talk about that when we return. I've got Carlton Mackel of Babylon LLC. It's a production company, and he actually manages all of my stuff. He's a millennial with a media mentality. We're going to be back with more Shoot the Shiitake, and we're going to get deep into what makes Carlton Mackel tick, and why does he grow his hair to like 5 feet of fro when we return in just a moment. We hope you're enjoying this episode of Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo. And if you like what you hear, please make sure you encourage family, friends to subscribe on their favorite podcast platform. And also, we encourage you to consider making a donation, supporting all of our efforts with Plating Grace, which also supports the Table Foundation, which seeks to elevate culture and family life, and also assist people in the hospitality industry and provide formation and education for returning citizens, ex-cons. So if you are interested in being a part of our movement to bring about conversions one conversation at a time, please be a subscriber and a donor at patreon.com/fatherleofeeds. Again, your support, super helpful and needed. Just go to patreon.com/fatherleofeeds. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake for our deep dish discussion. Carlton Mackel of Babylon LLC production company takes care of the Plating Grace stuff. We were talking about homeschooling and what makes him unique. Again, your fro. Hmm. Listen, let me just tell you, girls love it. You know it, right? Is that why you do it?
Girls and guys.
Wait a second. What? Explain this to me.
Okay, so I've gotten more compliments than girls have taken on dates with my afro before, just walking around Baltimore. There were days when I walked down and when it was big and I would get 3 or 4 compliments just walking down the street. It's the most attention I've ever gotten in my life.
Your fro was huge.
Yeah.
And that just comes naturally.
Yep, 100%.
And so like,
just fluff it out a little bit.
By the way,
yep.
Does anyone ever like say, can I touch it?
No, some people don't even ask. Most of them don't even ask.
How do you feel about that?
It's partially violated and complimented depending on the context.
On what they look like.
How smelly they are. But it's like, you know, when you're walking on the street and someone does that, it's not so respectful.
So I was told never to ask that.
No. Asking's okay. Please don't reach and grab it.
Because there was a comedian and it was a black comedian woman. She goes, please don't ever ask to touch my hair. So, but you're not like black.
I mean, half, I guess.
I mean, you're half black, right? But I mean, but even then, you don't, I'm just going to say, you don't sound like a brother.
That's right. It's homeschool.
That's the homeschooling you think.
Exactly.
Did your mother say like, excuse me, no, it is ask, not axe.
No, I mean, I definitely got corrected on my grammar, you know.
Like, so the homeschooling thing was really quite the impact.
I mean, sure. I mean, it's also just like, you know.
Do you like it? Is it a good thing now? Or do you think like, God, I wish I could have just grown up like all the other kids, Mom?
Well, I will say that being 27 and self-employed and working out of your apartment and getting to hang out with the Catholic priest, it's not the worst, you know. Yeah.
Okay, so let's just go through. What's it like working with me? This is going to be Shoot the Confession. No. Because I think a lot of people don't know. And let's admit it. There are a lot of people who are perhaps nosy as to what I do. What's kind of like your impression as an agnostic? And then you're going to have to tell me about how the heck you became agnostic.
And from behind the scenes, I would say, you know, the Plating Grace, the Father Leo, the movement, it's really about making the world a better place, kind of one step at a time. And I think it's really self-reflective, you know? It's about figuring out what you can do to better feed the people around you.
Did you think that you'd ever be working for a priest?
Nope.
So why are you? Besides a paycheck.
Because
and a modest one at that, admittedly.
Because I have something that you need, and I believe that I can do a good job with it. I believe that what you're doing is something that's good. I think it's, I realize that a lot of culture, a lot of media, we forget to even say, hey, what can we do to be better? Better people, you know?
So it's like, has this stuff, I mean, because you have to listen to it, you have to watch it.
Yeah.
I mean, what are your thoughts on it?
I think that it's something where...
Is it corny?
I think that, I think that's important. I think it's important that it be corny because people are so intimidated by theology. I grew up Christian, conservative. You know, I went to church. I went to youth group.
Okay.
Yeah, you know,
Is that why your mom had you homeschooling? Because it was like a Christian
That's definitely part of it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And what was your dad like?
My dad was the opposite. He's agnostic.
He's agnostic.
So the rule is when you're 16, you don't have to go to church anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
By the way, folks, when the dad practices something, the kids follow that more than the moms.
Ooh.
So dads, pay attention. Ooh. Anyway, keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So
we're talking about...
so like what you're getting out of it, because you have to watch this stuff. You said corny was good.
And so I think just paying attention to it, just spending 5 minutes, like, you know, focusing on being thankful, you know, focusing on whatever the latest bite-sized theology of the day is. Check it out.
So bite-sized theology, for people who don't know what it is, explain it.
Okay, so bite-sized theology is 1 minute of discussion with Father Leo, where he takes a topic and he breaks it apart and gives you something to think about and chew on for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And so it's just like a little reflective moment.
It's literally a minute long.
It's literally a minute long. But you know what? We forget. Okay, so you say pay attention to what feeds you, right? And I think that we get fed a lot of junk food, even if it's, you know, Game of Thrones, which I do enjoy watch, or, you know, Jeopardy. We don't feed our souls,
yeah.
You know, even if you're agnostic.
So even as an agnostic, you believe that you have a soul?
I believe that people's brains, the way you think and what you think about, that's an active process. You should choose what to think about and, like, this isn't important to think about.
Got it.
And I think that thinking about your existence and other people's existence and how to fit together, your theology, philosophy, I think that's an important thing that we forget. It's like a vegetable, but for your brain.
Okay.
You know, it's a different topic you just need to talk about.
So as an agnostic, when did this agnostic kind of quality come out? You said when you were 16, you were like, my dad said I don't have to go to church. And so, like, how did your mom react to that?
Oh, I mean, well, part of it's also like, you know, a 16-year-old man being forced to go to church, like, you know, rebellious.
What church did you go to, by the way?
Cornerstone is like small, you know, conservative.
Cornerstone.
Like evangelical.
Okay, so it was just a preacher up for an hour.
Exactly, basically.
Okay. And I'm sorry, I would be bored.
Well, exactly. I will say that, you know, that's why your approach is so important to me, because it's about philosophy first in a way. And that's really universal. You know, everyone has a god of some kind, whether it's coffee or whether it's Dragon Ball Z or it's Game of Thrones.
Oh my God, you're naming things that I don't even know what you're talking about.
You know, the latest celebrity or politics, you know, we all have stuff we care about.
Sure.
But we all can get together and agree that we need to care about each other.
Okay.
And that's where the theology, I think, is important.
Okay. So when did you become agnostic? And then what I'm going to do is throw quick fire questions at you.
So for me, I realized that organized religion, we've all been touched by the sin of man. We're all sinful, bad people to a degree. Uh-huh. And so what's important is the journey and not the destination. It's not whether it's, you know, my God is better than your God or my religion has better rules than your religion.
My God can kick your God's butt.
Because everyone believes that. Everyone's dad can beat up the other dad. That's part of being human.
You think your dad can beat up mine? Do you think your dad could beat up Mr. Carlos, who's, by the way, just so you know, there's a quick little background. Carlton was also a martial arts student.
Am
still.
I'm going to the Philippines next year. Let's go.
So he's still practicing martial arts at the school where I used to teach.
That's right.
So with my brother, we used to teach at the Kick Connection. Did I ever teach you, by the way? Was I ever your instructor? Maybe like specialty class?
I think
class?
We've probably done like a demo, probably, but I don't think about classes.
Wow, so back in the day. So you became agnostic because
I felt like, even though there was some everyone has nuggets of truth, mm-hmm. you know, things we can agree on and disagree on. But when it comes to the final interpretation, at some point you just have to pass it on to God, right? Mm-hmm. You know, people's actions and their choices are going to reflect on them alone. Mm-hmm. In the final reckoning, whatever you believe. And so, you know, by worrying about the details, it makes it hard to have the actual conversation. Okay. That's why I like the show Shoot the Shiitake. Mm-hmm. When you drop the labels and you say it's not important to be right or wrong, let's just talk about, you know, how you feel.
What it is.
And what it is. Yeah. Let's talk about reality.
How it is for you right now.
You have to open your eyes and see what
so
is.
So I want to hear about the reality, whether it comes from you or the millennial. I don't care what it is, but I'm just trying to get into a millennial mentality on various topics.
Right.
Politics.
Ooh, is this a rough one?
Well, I mean, just kind of name like a 30-second description on what do you think politics to the millennial?
Well, I would say that it's the same thing where the millennials grew up with people who were very much party politics, my belief, my brand, because the world was frankly a smaller place 30, 40 years ago. And now people are like, well, even though I've been told, and this is what my parents believe, this is what the politicians told me, mm-hmm. this is what my pastor said, well, the research said this. Or I'm looking online on Twitter and I see that everyone else agrees that maybe this isn't a bad word after all. And we've actually had the wrong mentality on how to solve this problem as a culture.
Okay.
And so I think millennials are not afraid to challenge the culture that exists right now in pursuit for a better world overall.
We talked about religion already. So let's talk about just other things, hearing a millennial's point of view. Let's talk about pot, 420.
Definitely.
Yes, no.
I smoked before I came here.
Is that why you're chill
right now? No, because
so
I
for you
smoke
it doesn't even
much.
Matter.
I have a cup of coffee and a blunt in the morning.
Okay,
because like anything,
where do you get it? I mean, like at one point you have to go to some lonely street corners.
Things change nowadays. You can get a pot card for like $200 if you live in Maryland. If you don't have a pot card, if you go within the district of DC, you can get it delivered.
A pot
no question.
Card,
a medical marijuana card, you can get them in Maryland.
So you have a medical marijuana?
I do not. I do not yet. But
why would you even need it?
Because then you can just go to a dispensary.
Okay, so where do you get it now then? Like,
So you get drug dealers that just sell pot.
You're kidding. Or, so you actually went to a drug dealer.
Yeah, I've been to a drug dealer's house.
Are you kidding me? This is crazy. And this kid works for me.
I've also gone to the streets of Baltimore and fed homeless people with churches before.
Okay.
Interesting.
So for pot, why is it such a big deal for the millennial culture? And do you think it's a gateway?
Okay, so we're about to go really deep.
Go for
it. But pot was criminalized along with LSD and all the other hippie drugs because the people who advocated them also were on the wrong political spectrum during Vietnam and that kind of era. And so, you know, just like we talk about black people and, you know, rap music, you know, people use politics and drugs to drive agendas. You know, the drug companies wanted to push opiates, all that contribute to reasons why pot's illegal.
Okay.
Now it's like, wait a second, maybe we shouldn't let people get hooked on oxycodone, you know, maybe handing out fentanyl isn't that good of an idea. And pot is just a different alternative to that. Plus it's fun.
Okay.
It's healthier than alcohol, less calories.
Okay. So, okay. Do you think it's a gateway? Just real quick, just yes or no.
Is drinking a gateway?
Yes.
Then yes, it's definitely a gateway.
Okay.
Because anything that you do purely for pleasure is going to be a gateway to you being more lazy and more tempted. It's
good for us
gluttony.
To know. Did your parents talk to you about pot?
I was afraid of drugs growing up.
You were afraid of drugs.
You know, like the little like church videos they have you watch, like don't do drugs or like the crazy lights and stuff. I watched one of those and I was scared of drugs.
Okay, good.
I didn't smoke until I was 18.
Okay.
Didn't drink until I was 18.
Okay. All right, sex.
It's great.
Please don't tell me you just had it before you came here today. Because now I can't. Continue this conversation. I just can't do it. So as far as sex, I mean, is there like
morality
responsibility, morality? Is there responsibility in the millennial mentality?
I think that ultimately what everyone wants, whether you're conservative or liberal, is a sexy but very responsible world where it is the responsibility that should come first. You know, whatever you believe about sex, the first thing you should do is stop yourself and how can I be responsible with my beliefs?
Do you think that's normal? Or is that yours?
No, I think that's mine. I think that a lot of people, they tell themselves that they believe something, but saying that you believe something and having the discipline to follow through in the believe are two different things. Okay. And I think that's what people, they forget to actually work towards being that person they think they are.
Okay, last question here. What can I, as a Catholic priest, do to help you?
Don't be boring.
Tell me about that.
Well, I think that it's very difficult to go over what you already know so well. You've studied, you know, and you've gone and you've preached a million times, mm-hmm. and it's truth in your mind. Mm-hmm. But that truth in your mind is not very convincing to someone else who believes different things than you. And so the only way that you can reach out and access other people is if you reexamine your own truth and you come up with new ways of saying it, and, you know, and figure out ways that maybe you understand it differently as well and helps you connect.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Don't be boring. From Millennial Media Minded Mentality, Carlton Mackle of Babylon LLC production company, and my media coordinator, who probably was late to send out this email because he was high. Let's just admit it.
I wasn't high enough.
I wasn't high enough. High enough. Yeah. And a lot of people are going to say, oh my gosh, well, what do you think all that? Well, that's why you got to keep listening for my carryout order when I return. Carlton, thank you for joining me on Shoot the Shiitake. And ladies and gentlemen, we will be back in just a moment. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, for my carryout order after having listened to Carlton Mackle of Babylon LLC. I actually take away a lot from this conversation, and one is simply, we've got to be willing to listen even if we disagree. I almost get frustrated sometimes when people, especially Catholics, listen to this show or any of, look at my social media and they think, gosh, you know, you seem to be supporting agendas that are contrary to the Catholic faith. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. I, first of all, love being Catholic. I love being Catholic priest. And I love everything that the Catholic Church teaches, believes, and professes as true, even if it is incredibly unpopular. However, the Catholic Church also has an incredibly important mission to reach out to people who may be considered the lost sheep. I frankly don't think that Carlton is a lost sheep. He's just certainly a unique person out in his world and doing his own thing. Okay, so that's number one. But to have conversations with people who are different from me doesn't make me less of a priest. I think, if anything, it makes me more like Jesus, who is the high priest, because he talked to people who I'm sure he disagreed with in their lifestyle. And while I would certainly love for everyone to just simply believe in the Catholic Church and literally live pious, holy, sanctimonious lives, I just know that that's not the case. And while I would love to hire those people, guess what? They're just not there sometimes. Believe me, I'm struggling to fulfill particular jobs in my organization. It's not the easiest thing. And so I'm grateful for Carlton and his presence. You know, he doesn't do everything perfectly, but he also does a lot of things well, you know, and that's kind of part of it. One of the things I will say that I learned is, besides just being able to listen to people, is kind of his worldview and his world experience. You know, I mean, like with Carlton, I can joke with him about race because he jokes with me about race. And one really important thing, just because you make a racial comment doesn't make it racism. I'm just letting you know that, folks. It's driving me a little crazy in today's modern mentality of millennials that if you say in anything that might have to do with what makes them unique, it's seen as racist. No, it might be insensitive. It might be ill-mannered. It might even be ignorant and rude, but that doesn't make it filled with hate / that racism that people are, I don't know, seemingly making the next mortal sin next to gluten intolerance. You know, I mean, it's just kind of ridiculous with how people are approaching it. So I asked Carlton just about his background because, you know, when you look at him, you can tell that he is biracial somehow, but he could look Latino. He could look, you know, Mexican. He could pass as an Indian from the country of India, but, you know, he walks around with big hair. And I got to admit, it's some big hair. It is huge hair, but it looks cool. You know, I mean, it was basically, if you're old enough to remember, the 1970s Afro, and he wears it well. And now it's cool, you know? And so when I make comments about him racially, it's in no way to be a racist. It's just to to recognize and acknowledge the fact that we are both different races and we've got unique approaches to things. With Carlton, and I think this is true with most people who are biracial or mixed races, you know, Filipinos would call them mestizo, you know, like a mixed blood. First of all, they're very attractive people. That's number one. You know, I mean, I think because you get the best of both worlds, so to speak, and put them together, and they create something very unique. But in Carlton's case, you know, I mean, if I were to just kind of evaluate, and I'm sure he's going to be listening to this, be like, Father Leo, I can't believe you said that. Well, I think he loves it. I think he uses it to his advantage, and he can, you know, I mean, being a biracial individual, he can kind of get away with whatever race people might think he is, but yet in no way can you pin him down by his character. You know, you can take a look at him at color length, but his character is very different. It's almost opposite of what you might think. You know, he is incredibly articulate. He's very respectful. He's very well-mannered. Granted, you know, he sometimes looks like he just woke up because he did just wake up. And granted, he might walk around with two different pairs of socks, and that's just because they were clean. That's very millennial, in my opinion, you know. But what I'm learning is that millennials, they are articulate. They really have, how shall I say, an ability to communicate in profound ways. Here's the problem. Sometimes when I listen to millennials, they have no idea what they're talking about, but they sound smart doing it. I don't know if that makes any sense. You know, like I watch the news sometimes and some of the people there, they sound so smart, but if you listen to them, they kind of don't know what they're talking about. And so in the case with Carlton, what I like is that he's going to be willing to say to me what he doesn't know or doesn't understand. But when we do have a conversation, he always at least tries to be articulate. And I think his articulate skills comes from his parents. You know, I think I met his dad very briefly recently, and I didn't know it was his dad. I mean, I don't think I've ever met Carlton's mother, but the fact that they raised their child well in an intact home, even though they were two different races and two different belief systems religiously. You know, like, again, you heard Carlton's mother is the religious one and Carlton's father, not so much, agnostic, I believe he said. And yet they were able to work together for the good of their children. You know, and again, I know some of Carlton's other siblings, and they are also incredibly respectful too. So guess what? Millennials, you will have a fighting chance in this world if you are raised well by a strong parental unit, whether it be a mom or a dad, but you'll be even stronger if you're raised by both. Now, that doesn't mean like, you know, mom and dad can't be separated and therefore a millennial is going to be a weirdo. No, because that's just not what I'm saying. I'm saying that I think Carlton's strength comes from the fact that he has influences from his mother and his father. And that's what helps him, even though he is quote unquote a millennial. He at least has this dignity, this respect, this ability to articulate and to be communicative, you know? And so all of those things matter from a family background. So that's one thing I learned is that, you know, as long as there's good family upbringing, that millennial will be okay. Another thing that I learned about millennials is, and I knew this, but it was good to hear from Carlton, it was the fact that they just grew up in a very different world than when I grew up in. You know, I didn't have a computer. We had a video game, but it was very limited. And so we played outside. We didn't get locked up in our rooms, kind of just talking to a device or talking through a device. And so what I think needs to happen, parents, if you are listening to this now, make sure that you are engaging your child and getting your child more engaged in real life human communication. So Carlton works with some of my social media platforms. And there are times when I can tell that he's kind of just enclosed himself in his little millennial media world. And it's almost sometimes I got to pull him out of it. But when we do, he enjoys it. So I just know that he is growing up in a different world, a world about inclusivity. And that's another thing that I'm thinking about when listening to my conversation with Carlton. There is this hyper-inclusivity, but to a point where it could actually be exclusive of tradition, of more kind of like old school things, you know? Like, we could be so inclusive to everyone, but if there is, say, like a religion that still considers homosexuality a sin, then you almost exclude the Catholic Church, and therefore you're not very inclusive at all. So I think if there's anything that I've learned is that I've got to make sure that I am not so old school that I reject new things, and that I'm not so new school that I reject old things. In other words, I just learned that I've got to be a person who discerns a little bit better, because discernment is going to be the stuff that takes us from one generation to the next, and that discernment requires dialogue. And so that's what I'm getting in my conversation with this millennial. And I hope that you understand what I'm talking about, and hopefully this helps. Whenever you engage in a conversation with a millennial, know that their background is very different from yours. Know that perhaps their upbringing in their family may be different. Let's hope that even though they could sound incredibly intellectual and articulate, they might not know what they're talking about. And that's where dialogue has to happen. And we've got to almost be patient with the fact that they have grown up in almost a digital age that kind of divorces them from dialogue. And so I think, if anything, it's just teaching me to be a more patient person. I'm grateful with what Carlton said. I need to do better as a priest, you know, and just caring about people. And I do care about him. So I want to thank Carlton for joining me on Shoot the Shiitake. And I want to thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you to our sponsor, SelectInternationalTours.com, 800-842-4842. They've got all of my trips for next year. So all you've got to do is just visit me at FatherLeoFeeds.com/travel. Or you can go to SelectInternationalTours.com and see all the different tour leaders and the different itineraries. And hopefully you'll get on a pilgrimage someday in your life, because that pulls you out of your little world and into the bigger picture, which is the world that God created. So between now and the next time we shoot the shiitake, I certainly hope you will continue to support us with your prayers, and also with a donation of $10 or more each month. That gets you exclusive content and extra gifts, which we're going to be sending out soon. All you've got to do is go to patreon.com/FatherLeoFeeds. Again, Patreon, patreon.com/FatherLeoFeeds. And between now and the next time we shoot the shiitake, stay hungry.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a Select International Tours Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com, for faith, fellowship, and love.